Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. Colin, thanks very much for calling us beautiful. We really appreciate it. We all heard you. Colin says you're beautiful, and we believe what Colin says, so welcome. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you. That's exactly what you think when you see us coming into this place this morning. You're beautiful. That's how you made us. That was your intention. In fact, you saw us when we woke up this morning and you thought to yourself, you are beautiful. Whatever we might think, thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. And may we understand more of your love when we go home today. Amen. I think we're on a roll here. Before we go any further, let's go home now. We are beautiful, and that's it. Great, doesn't it? There's a few notices today, and we always, when we come together, we mourn with those who mourn, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And before we go any further, we are mourning with those who mourn today. Peter Bewley died peacefully Thursday night to Friday morning. Grace is here today. Tim saw Tim and Grace yesterday. And they know where Peter is. And he's where he always wanted to be, particularly after losing his wife Christine. He wanted to be with the Lord. We said to him, we've got a bit more to do yet. And he witnessed to his carers, was there for the family. They didn't lose everybody at once. But now he's where he wanted to be. And so we mourn with those who mourn. But we also rejoice with those who rejoice. And it's Grace's birthday on Tuesday. And it was David Butler's birthday yesterday. And we've got another birthday, which we're going to look at just in a moment, because we need to do it on its own. Perfect. Is anybody else's birthday the week just gone? Oh, Harry. When's Harry?
It's coming.
When is it, Karen?
Thursday.
I can see you, Harry, at the back there. You looking forward to your birthday, Harry? In the between the banana, yes. Sue?
Ninety-three tomorrow.
So, well, look, we got Cecil, Harry, David, and Grace. Cecil, Harold, David, and Grace. Seth, I've gone to Harold then. You know the names: David, Cecil, Harry, and Grace. So let's sing "Happy Birthday," shall we? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Cecil, David, and Grace, and Harry. Happy birthday to you. Today's tongue twister over. Can we go on to the next slide, please? Tomorrow is Reenie's 100th birthday. And there's a card here that we've got, which a lot of you have already signed, which I'll put out on the... table outside, and so we're doing a recording for Reenie, and David here's got a recording device. A number of you recorded happy birthday messages last week, but we thought, well, it'd be good to sing happy birthday to Reenie just on her own, because she'd be completely confused with that last one. So we'll sing happy birthday to Reenie, and thank you, David, for giving us a photograph. This is Reenie's world in this chair, but she is content in her home, in the place that God has provided for, and she is radiant. And so let's say happy birthday to Reenie. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Reenie, happy birthday. wonders of technology. Excellent. Thank you also to those people, eagle-eyed, who've told me that I've got the dates wrong. It's really good that people are reading the notices. So that's great. So next Saturday afternoon, we have... I have to remember the names now, which is lovely. It's now Andy and Jutta, because we don't need to have pen names, you know, disguise names anymore. Andy and Jutta are coming next Saturday afternoon, 2:30. Saturday, yeah. Next Saturday afternoon, a presentation about how God is at work in their lives, and particularly their call to Gulu, which is in northern Uganda, which was the place that we learnt a bit about at our Harvest Festival. So it's a presentation followed by cream tea. There's a sign-up sheet on the table. Lots of people are coming, which is great. More can come. Do come. It's great to be part of the family with them, learning about worlds, you know, apart from ours, which is really great. So that's next Saturday afternoon, 28th. And then on the Sunday, the 29th, which is another wrong date, that is a birthday celebration for Liz Jessup. It's Normie Hungry Hearts, which is our invitation to stay for lunch. If you don't want to eat on your own, stay for lunch. And we're going to do that, but this time it's going to be a hot lunch, and it's open to everybody just to come along, an extended Hungry Hearts, to make the very most of the opportunity to celebrate Liz's birthday. And so again, do please sign up on the sheets. We need your participation. And I think the last thing that I've got, no, two things. Keys. Who has lost keys in their life? Look at that. Look at that. Excellent. Well, David and Josie have lost a bunch of church keys. So if anybody finds a bunch of keys, is there a fob on it, a particular fob?
Big plastic fob with some
scenery on it. Scenery. Perfect. So, can everybody keep an eye out, search your pockets, for a bunch of keys. It would save an awful lot of hassle if we can find them for David and Josie. Lastly, on Wednesday, we have Wednesday worship. It wasn't on the notice PDF. It's an opportunity to seek the Lord, to enjoy his presence, to worship him in spirit and truth. Just to come along for an hour or so and to worship, to be in his presence. It's not a service, it's not something we have to do anything. It's a place to worship. And so if you've not come before, do come. If you've come before, come again. It would be lovely. Sorry, 7:30. 7:30 on Wednesday. The theme for our service today is living for the glory of God. And here's a couple of verses from Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. We'll start with a time of worship. Our first song is God of Glory, we exalt your name.
Thank you.
As we were praying this morning, we were thinking about the beautiful sky that we'd seen. And yes, God gives us sky, God gives us clouds, God gives us beautiful things to reveal his glory. When I see the beauty of a sunset's glory, amazing artistry across the evening sky, when I feel the mystery of a distant galaxy, it awes and humbles me to be loved by a God so high. Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Promise is for your children and for your children's children and all those that are far off, to all whom the Lord will call. The promise of forgiveness and eternal life and a place with you now in heavenly realms in Christ and forever in eternity. We thank you, Lord, for Peter Bewley. We thank you for his faith in you, his secure hope in you. We thank you that he knew where he was going. and peacefully he has left us and is with you. And we give thanks for this wonderful hope that is open to all who trust in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. We're going to take up our offering now. And as we always say and pray, this offering is for God's work, that others will come to know him. It's part of our way of saying thank you to Jesus for saving us, that we may see others saved. So if we could take up the offering, that'd be great. Father, thank you for giving us the joy and the privilege of giving to you that which you have already given to us. We pray you bless these gifts and all those who have been given through the bank and every other way to the work of your kingdom. Multiply them that many will come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Peter, would you like to come and join me, please? For those who don't know, this is Peter Bottrell, and at a recent church members' meeting, we welcomed him into membership, and it's our custom to receive new members into membership in a service, often communion. But Peter's serving the Lord in preaching and so on various communion services and doing things else time. So it's an opportunity today to welcome to him. So can I give you that one? And I'll ask you if you would take that, Peter. Eat it like an ice cream. You know the deal. Thank you. So I'll say it again because it's really important to say it. There's a lovely card, there's a postcard outside on the table from a gentleman in Liverpool. He was here a few weeks ago and he was part of the service when Andrew Askew was welcomed into membership. And he said in his postcard to us, he was particularly struck by the fact that we said that Andrew, and the same applies to Peter, doesn't have to fit in with us. You're relieved at this point when you look at this. We always say when somebody comes into membership, it is not somebody fitting into us. Together, we go to a new place. So we are now a new church that has Peter in it, not Peter having to fit in with a strange lot of people. So if anybody else here who's been coming on thinking, yeah, maybe this is where God wants me, then do come and talk to me about membership, what that's involved. But this is it, really, what you're hearing today, which is great. So, in the name of our loving God, it is our joy to welcome Peter into the membership of this church. Peter is fully committed to serving God in our church family and in the wider church family, in the community of Paignton and beyond. Today we acknowledge and thank God for Peter's commitment. So we got some questions for him. This is not a test. This is a celebration of serving together. So Peter, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your creator and redeemer and the sustainer of all things?
I do. This is the God in whom I trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life, and witness of this local congregation?
I do, and I thank God for the gift of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
I will. All I have is given by God.
As members of a Baptist church, we covenant together as a community of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Baptized into his name, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness, and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to build one another up in love. Will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
I will. Thanks be to God.
Now your turn. Can we have the covenant promises, please? Thank you very much. So this is the question for you. And as always, I say, Peter, keep an eye on them. Make sure that they're all doing this. Do you welcome Peter into the membership of this worshipping community?
We do. This is our joy and our glory.
God has given us the gift of this brother. And through him, he has given us gifts for ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support Peter in his Christian service and in the responsibilities of church membership?
We will. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray for Peter and encourage him through hospitality, friendship, and support?
We will, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ.
We're going to pray now, and Peter, could I just ask you to step one step down? Deacons, could I ask the deacons this time if you would come up and I'll take that from you, Peter. Thank you. We don't always do this, but there's an opportunity as we have our deacons with us to pray for Peter. So feel free, Andrew, can I give that to you? Pass it on to anybody who'd like to pray. We don't all have to pray. But
Father, thank you for Peter. Thank you for all that he's going to bring to this fellowship, for the gifts and the talents you've given him. Father, we just thank you for the blessing he's been already and ask that you'll increase that blessing in him to pour out to others. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we do thank you for Peter. We thank you for his gifts. We thank you for his humility. We thank you for his walk with you. And I pray that you would strengthen him and bless him, that you would pour your spirit on him and continue to make him a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God, that we are blessed by Peter coming into membership. And Lord, has already been prayed, we do pray that you will bless him as he serves you and the community here, Lord, in the coming days and weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Loving God, we believe you've guided Peter to this church, and we rejoice in the covenant promises we've made together. We pray that he and we may grow in grace, strengthen his faith and ours, and build up this community of your people, that together we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit upon Peter, strengthen him for service, and make him more like Jesus.
Through your grace, empower us all, that our life together might glorify you and witness to a needy world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In this moment, if God has given you a word or a prayer for Peter, do speak it out.
Dear Peter, we just give you our love this morning. That we remember this church, it means a lot. And I find that you will find him deeper in your heart as well, as you go along life's way. Peter, we give you our love. We give you our thanks for all you bring.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that we have already benefited from Peter's ministry when he's brought your word to us on one or two occasions. We thank you for him. It's a joy to receive him into fellowship. We thank you for his dry sense of humour. And we thank you for his love for us all.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Peter, thank you for telling you that he has called you and he will equip you. You do not fear, but he has called you to do something very special. But you're not to fear, you are to trust him and he will equip you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, deacons. Peter, we just stay there just a sec. Thank you very much. This is your opportunity. If you want to say anything to the church, you're welcome.
Giving me a microphone is a very dangerous thing to do. Just like to say a few things. One is I'd like to thank the church for the very warm welcome that I've received since I started coming some while ago. It's taking me a little while to come into membership because I think that the things that are big decisions and they're not to be hurried. But I'm glad that I've taken this step this morning. I also would like to thank people for the kind words they've said when I've given my occasional address, which David has alluded to. And that's been really very heartwarming and I appreciated that very much. The next one is in January, on the first Sunday of an evening service, so I'll be checking who's there. And finally, and I think this is partly on behalf of the whole congregation here this morning, I think most people will know that I lost my wife a couple of years ago. And what impressed me was that when we had the Thanksgiving service over at the Central Church in Torquay, Stephen came along. The only problem was that I didn't recognise him. Now, the reason is that everybody was still wearing masks in those days. Now, had he had his shorts on, I would have recognised those knees immediately. But the point of that is to say, I deeply appreciated that, and I know we do, but treasure your minister. I know you do. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Right, children. So we've got Zeb, and we've got Noah, and we've got Harry. Anybody else? No. Right, just to say, in your packs this time, we've got this. Oh, they're already on it. Excellent. And it says on the back of here, let the children come. Let the children come to me. And I thought what you might want to do on your sheet, there's Jesus with lots of children. You might want to put yourself in that group of children. Think, I'm there. You might want to put your name on it or dress the child as you do. But you might also think of some other children that you know, that you want to know Jesus. So we're going to be talking to you during the talk as well, but I thought particularly, you might like to have this, that sense of Jesus is inviting all of us here, and put yourself in there, and perhaps put some other children you know in this picture. Today's reading, we haven't got a reader for, because the reader's you. I thought it'd be a good opportunity. It's a very short reading for us all to do this reading together. Not everybody will, I appreciate that. So those who are not able to read the words from the Bible, you'll be our testers. You'll be listening and see if we read it clear enough for you. So it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 from the Church Bibles. Don't read it from another Bible, obviously you'll really confuse us. And that's page number 1139. So let's read this together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We'll do it again. That was really good. Let's do it again to get these words deep within us. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Can we go to our PowerPoint? It's perfect. Great. Living to the glory of God. I'm a fan of the word therefore. I think Paul was a fan of the word therefore, or whatever it was in Greek that he wrote in. Therefore, what therefore means, in view of everything that's happened already, therefore I urge you. So Paul is urging us something based upon all that has gone before. If you read Romans, the book of Romans, I thoroughly recommend it. Read it regularly. The answer's always in Romans, is a standard phrase we've now got. Paul is urging the saints in Rome, Christians, Jews, and Gentiles, to do something. And we're going to come to that in a moment. But first, let's look at that line. Therefore, I urge you in view of God's mercy. Mercy. It's not a word we use very much. God's mercy means that God has chosen to hold back the punishment of sin that all people deserve, including us. Because it says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Paul has explained, as you look through Romans, that God has not yet judged their sin. He hasn't punished them for their sins yet. He's held back judgment and punishment, waiting for them and everyone else on earth to repent of their sin, to believe and trust in Jesus as their Savior. We've already been praying for that today. Jesus died on the cross to remove the sins of the whole world. And he's saying, in view of God's mercy, come to him. Come to him. Say sorry. Be forgiven. Obey him as Lord. Receive his gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This truth about mercy, God holding back the judgment and punishment, we've already sung about. Mercy and grace are mine. Forgiven is my sin. Jesus, my only hope, the Saviour of the world. Thank you for saving me. What can I say? And this news is from everybody. And I've got on my notes here, speak directly to the children. So Zeb and Noah and Harry, Jesus has come for you, to forgive you, to give you new life. As much as every adult that's here. Every child that's pictured on your picture in front of, every child you can think of in your class, at school or a nursery, every child Jesus has come for. His mercy is available for everyone. Do you know that God has shown you mercy? Do you know that you were separated from God by sin? But that God chose Jesus, God in human form, and he shed his blood for you on the cross. You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. As a result, through faith in Jesus and in him alone, we can be forgiven and free. God gave that phrase to me a long time. I'm a simple man. I can cope with three words. Forgiven and free. Who here would be bold enough to say they are forgiven and free? Hallelujah. For those on listening to the recording, there's a lot of people with their hands up. Because of Jesus, we're forgiven and free. That's God's mercy. Point one done. So point two is, therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper, reasonable, spiritual worship. This is what Paul is off urging us to do in view of God's great mercy. God has given up his son Jesus, who gave up his life, and our response, our proper response, is to worship him. And Paul is not just talking about singing songs. Singing songs is beautiful and God loves it. God was delighted to hear us worshiping him in song this morning. But it's more than that. He is telling us to offer our whole bodies. My knobbly knees, Peter. Yes, even those. Everything we are is to be offered to God. Nothing left. We are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Now, a sacrifice, what's the common factor of all sacrifices? They're dead. Normally. Perhaps not always. Sacrifices are dead animals, or else something that can't move. Grain or wine. In the Bible, lots of things about sacrifices. There's lots of animals, and they're dead animals. And they've got no choice whether they worship. They're just something that's part of worship. We have a choice. In the past, under the old covenant, God's people presented holy sacrifices to God in accordance with the requirements of the law. Bulls, goats, lambs, pigeons, grain, wine, to remove their sin. The people in the surrounding nations also offered sacrifices to false gods. And it was unholy worship. It even included their own blood or their own children. The animal sacrifices required by the law all pointed to who? Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. As the letter to the Hebrews explains, Jesus died once for all to remove sin. And so now there are no sacrifices required to remove our sin. No animals, no nothing. Jesus doesn't have to die again. He died once and for all to remove our sin. There is no more death to achieve forgiveness and freedom. But God wants us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him by Jesus' blood. So I'm picking on Zeb and Noah and Harry because they're wonderful and they're here. God wants you to give your body to him. He wants you to give your body to him. Your smile. Your arm around the shoulder when somebody is struggling. Your body for him. Our bodies belong to God. Did you know that? Our bodies belong to God. He made them and he gave them to us. And so we're giving them back what was already his. Just like our money. He gives us money. We give that which was already his. Our bodies are his. We're only giving him back what was his already. Do you not know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Paul says again, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. Have you received God's love through Jesus? Have you been bought with the price of Jesus' blood? Have you received the gift of forgiveness for all your sins and the gift of eternal life? We've got a great big nod from Zip. Then worship him by offering your bodies to him as living sacrifices, which belong to him. So how can we offer our bodies to God? Paul writes, and I had this conversation with someone the other day about this particular phrase. It's really helpful. It's very inclusive. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. Whether we eat or drink, or whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. There's an Ishmael song for that, which you can help you remember the words. Whatever we eat or drink, or whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. So how do we live for the glory of God? This is our theme today. How do we do it? How do we use our bodies to bring pleasure to God's face? To put a smile on his face? How can we find out what pleases the Lord? Well, it's interesting. It starts with not doing something. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and a pleasing and perfect will. In order to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, we need a renewed mind. How do we get a renewed mind? We can focus on God, on his word, on the beauty around us. Lots of things. But actually, it's God who does the renewing, the transforming. We can't get into our brains and change the brain cells around. We can't get into our hearts. That's where the mind is for the Christian. We can't get into our hearts, but God does that. What can we do? We can do the not conforming. J.B. Phillips, a translator of the New Testament, said, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold." I was thinking about getting Play-Doh today, children, but I thought it could get very messy. And not, but Play-Doh. You know, when you get a Play-Doh, has anybody had Play-Doh? Yes? And you squeeze it into a mold, don't you? You can squeeze it through the machine, through the factory, the Play-Doh factory, or you can squeeze it into a mold. And I was thinking, if I had the opportunity, I'd have a wooden cross. And you can't squeeze that into a mold. We are not to let the world squeeze us into its mold. We face a battle every day where the world around us, not the physical earth, but the unholy values of this Antichrist world culture and its people, puts pressure to go the world's way and not ours. Could we have the slide? It's a bit small writing, but I wanted it in one place. If you can, let's read the words on the left-hand side, and then we'll, which is the world's pressures, and then we'll read the Christian's response. So, the world says, we're going our way. Come with us. The Christian response is, I am going Jesus' way. We insist you go our way too. I am going Jesus' way. We will punish you if you don't go our way. I'm going Jesus' way. I learned this lesson really early. Some of you would have heard me tell this story before. Gregory Theobald was picked on as a child, son of our postman, lovely, quiet lad, picked on after school sports day. I was probably about 8 or 9. And everybody decided to throw fir cones at Gregory Theobald. I didn't want to do that, because I knew that was wrong. But they said, if you don't throw them at him, we'll throw them at you. And I think I threw one. But I knew it was wrong. I then was hauled into the headmaster's study. Oh, Mr. Sidney Smith, lovely man, but I'd never been called to the headmaster's office before. Quaking in my boots outside the headmaster's study, I was a wreck. He didn't have to say anything. He knew how guilty I was. But why did I do it? I knew what was right. I didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit to go Jesus' way. We'll punish you if you don't go our way. And children at school, nursery, and adults, you will know the world will say, you should go our way. We insist you go away. We'll punish you if you don't. Paul explained at the start of his letter to Romans how people in the beginning of creation stopped worshipping God, their creator. They turned to false worship of idols, created things. The immediate result was sexual impurity. They degraded their bodies with one another. This led, in turn, to a depraved mind. So they did what should not be done. There's a health warning here. This is not good news, what I'm about to read you. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so they do what ought not to be done. They have become, and this is now, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents.
No.
They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. That's conforming to the pattern of this world. So, we have two choices. Can we have our next slide, please? So, two choices. On the left-hand side, we see true worship of God leads to giving our bodies to God. And that leads to a renewed holy mind. And that leads to life, eternal life. But as described at the beginning of Romans, and you can see it everywhere around us, false worship of idols leads to giving bodies to sin, which leads to a depraved, evil mind, which leads to death. So children, adults, that's the choice. And we need to know that, and we need to tell other people that. It's very simple. That's why I put it on one bit of, you know, PowerPoint. It's really simple, isn't it? Choose life or death. choose true worship or false worship. Give me our bodies to God or give it to sin. Which do you want? Which do you want? Do you want to live to the glory of God or go your own way? Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to help us live to the glory of God the Father. So what does it mean in practice? This is the theology. This is the truth we need to know. But what does it actually mean in practice? How do we put a big smile on God's face rather than tears? Does what I eat or drink, or how much of it, bring glory to God? Does what I do to earn money bring glory to God? Does what I look at in the street, on the TV, the phone, or the computer bring glory to God? Does what I listen to bring glory to God? Does my tongue give glory to God? What I say and how I say it. Leslie will tell you, it doesn't always give glory to God. We're all the same. Does who I have an intimate personal relationship with and what that, how that works out, does that please Jesus? There is no part of our body that does not belong to God. And every part should be offered to him. Our stomachs, our feet, our eyes, our ears, everything belongs to the Lord. And we should offer it to him, made holy by his Spirit. And he will use it to bring glory to his name. Now often I find when I'm giving a message or a service, we come full circle. And it's really important at this point, you're all thinking, I'm not bringing glory to God a lot of the time. And I want you to come to the next slide, which is, ta-da, it'll come. Mercy. We're back where we started. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I like to think of this very irreverently as the two guys with the buckets that go behind the royal procession where the horses are. You know what I'm talking about. Buckets and shovels behind the horses. It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. It's as if God is saying, you are going to mess up, but my goodness and my mercy are following you. And I'll clear it up. At the moment, maybe you're thinking there's something I've done that God can't clear up. He can. He can. And he will. Because this is the promise from the 23rd Psalm. We skip over it and think about, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But look, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Paul makes it clear in Romans chapter 7 that Christians will continue to sin because of the sinful nature living within us. But we can always be forgiven for everything when we turn to Jesus, who will rescue us from this body of death. The good news is, as we do our part in not conforming to the pattern of this world, so God does his work in transforming our minds. And I don't want to do bad stuff anymore. There's no way I'd throw a fur cone at Gregory Theobald now. There's no way I'd throw a fur cone at anybody now. Or anything else for that matter. Unless it's throwing wet sponge at Leslie just for a laugh. The good news is, as we do the not conforming, he does the transforming. So we don't want to do bad anymore. We want to please the Lord. And God tells us he will change us from one degree of glory to another. We think our children here that are here, we've got Harry and Zeb and those, you know, we've got our children. Some of us have got our own children or grandchildren, or there's children we know and care for. There's a children right here at Message Church, and they're beautiful. And we see them as beautiful. We can see that God is working in them. But God sees every one of us. I mean, would you believe Rini at 100? She hasn't got there yet. She's going to be more beautiful tomorrow than she is today. She's going to be more like Jesus tomorrow than she is today. She's going to bring more glory to God tomorrow than she will today. That's the journey for all of us. Excuse me if I get a bit excited about this. I know time's getting old, but I'm getting excited. It's great, isn't it? This is the adventure of following Jesus. We become more like him every day if we put ourselves in his hands. We're going to sing a song in a moment, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and we're going to do it to traditional tune. And the most powerful word, but it's an opportunity again to look at Jesus, to consider his mercy, and to consider and express our response. But I'll lead us in a prayer, then we'll come to the song. Jesus, you welcomed the children. You longed to bless them. Those who were considered nothing, unimportant, expendable. And you welcome every one of us today. And if we come as a little child, we will receive the kingdom. We will receive the gift of eternal life. We will also receive forgiveness. Even though we've received it perhaps many times before, we'll receive it again. So, Jesus, we come to you. By your death on the cross, by your blood poured out, forgive us, we pray, where we have sinned, where we've hurt others, where we've used our bodies for things that are not right, which are unholy. Forgive us where we have conformed to the pattern of this world. Without a second thought, we just joined in. Or where we haven't asked you for help and we've given in after a long struggle. Lord, forgive us today that we may be forgiven and free. Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Feel free to sit or stand.
ask you to remain standing just for a moment. Lord, we present to you our bodies today as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you because of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Before we come to the end of our service, we are going to pray for others. It's our custom often to pray for others. I just want to read a couple of verses before we do that. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so we might become righteousness of God in him. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Not conforming to the pattern of this world matters because we want to bring glory to God and we want others to be saved. And as his ambassadors, we have to be holy, forgiven and free. So in this moment now, I asked Zeb and Ner to think about putting names of other people in that group of children that were there in front of Jesus. If you were there with Jesus and you had 15, 20 people around you, who would they be? Who is there around you that at the moment doesn't know Jesus? We can pray for them. We are also his ambassadors. And part of us presenting our bodies as living sacrifices means going as ambassadors. So let's pray in your heart or out loud for people that you feel God is calling you to pray for or perhaps even to visit. Let's pray.
They were taken to a place where they can hear your word. Father, we know that schools these days, in many cases, are very low for the name mentioned. And parents are too busy to take their children to church. And they don't even think about things like boys for day to girls for day. But Father, I pray that Brandon and Jamie will be on a place where they can hear and come to know you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I pray for John with each night and Eva to come to know you as their Lord and Savior too, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Lord, I pray that you'd show Leslie and I who we should be taking to the J-Don evening, the Christmas celebration, to hear the gospel. Amen.
I want to pray for members of our family, Rachel and Jess, Mark and Katie, and little Phoebe, Lord.
Yes, sir.
That during our lifetime, you will bless us with seeing them all come to faith.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Lord, pray just now for Grace and for Tim, who will have lots of things to do, as one does have after the death of a loved one, in this coming week. I pray they may receive nothing but love and help and encouragement.
Yes.
And I pray for Tim particularly, Lord, that his faith may be renewed.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
That were at Message Church yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name them, Lord, but quite a lot of them haven't found you yet as their personal saviour. And I just pray that all of those families, perhaps even be brought by their children, to come to know you and help us, each one of us, as we come in contact with families and parents and children and to always show them the love of Jesus. And I pray this in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen. And Lord, I pray for my brother and his family. Sometimes people think that money can buy everything, but love it can't buy.
Yes, I'm getting my thirst.
And your love even more so.
Thank you,
Lord. Lord, may they realize that there's more to life, particularly when we start to move towards thinking about the ends of our lives and our chance to meet with Jesus.
Yeah.
May they understand, Lord, that you are there waiting for them, that you have a love that is far bigger and brighter than anything else.
Amen.
Dear Father, we just pray for all those in the nursing homes, those who are going through this awful disease, the dementia. Oh Lord, we pray for them. We pray that our hearts will not give in to you. Will give in to you, I should say. That you will give love and understanding amongst all the staff and all these folks. That will be hard for them to carry on each day. So Lord, we lift up those who are caring and all those who are in need of this care. Oh Lord, we thank you for this world. It's a caring world, even though we see all things are going wrong and wrong. But Lord, I thank you for your everlasting arms.
Yes.
Stretch out into these places.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Us
thank
each
you.
Day we walk with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen.
I also want to pray for Cecil and June.
Yeah.
Lord, they have served you all their lives, and Cecil's got another birthday tomorrow, and we do miss stuff from the fellowship, but we know that times are getting difficult for them. But I pray, Lord, that you will grant them special blessings. And that if they're listening to us this morning, or tomorrow, or whenever, they'll know that they're always thought about in this church family. Because we love all those who can't be here anymore. For Jesus' sake.
Amen. Amen. Our final song is a declaration of our hope. Through the mercy of God, there is a higher throne.
Every time.
bless you.
You'll reign.
Bless
and
you.
Darkness.
Bless you.
And we will reign with you. That's the most glorious part, Lord.
Thank you.
That we
Thank
will
you.
Reign with you.
Bless
what,
you. Mercy.
What an honor that is, Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
Undeserved.
Bless you, Lord.
So undeserved, Lord. If we could just take hold of that, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
just
you.
Who we are.
Bless you.
Who we are, not because of ourselves, but who we are because Jesus gave up his life.
Thank you, Lord.
On that cross.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you.
Bless
thank you,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Bless you, Jesus.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
To deserve all that, Lord. Help us. And as we prayed for our loved ones, Lord, we hold up the verse, because when we hold up a verse to God, it doesn't come back for you. And he says, all your children will be taught by the Lord. So we claim that. We claim that for all our children, Lord, who don't know you as yet.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. We know that you will, if we pray that, Lord, it won't come back void.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.